program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Well, hello, good morning. Welcome to The Flatline. I am your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. You know the drill, 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education without us trying any manipulation, because we don't try to con people. We're not soliciting money. We're not trying to sell you something. We're not going to ask you to join it up or give it up or get into some kind of campaign where you promise you're never going to do bad again. That's not what this show is about. This show is about explaining to you how the plan of God works. That's all it's about. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, this show is for you. If you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, my prayer is that you will make the decision to receive Him as your Savior, because it is the single most important decision you'll ever make in your life. You may put it off and you may say it's not real, not true, but you will learn one day that it is true. And the Bible says, whoever's name is not written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire forever. And that's not God's plan for you. He created the lake of fire for Satan and fallen angels, not for you. He gave His only begotten Son for you so that He would die in your place, pay the penalty for your sin, and offer to you forgiveness through the cross. Please consider that. Now, there's no doubt the times we're living in are changing in America. I mean, at least that's what the press keeps telling me. The press keeps pushing this grievance of the Americans who feel they've been exploited and now they want some sort of reparation. They give front page coverage to different groups almost daily. There's not a day that goes by without political accusations being made, and the green energy people continue to demand less fossil fuel use, and the military convenience search for qualified recruits, but the pool is getting smaller. So we all know that the more sensational the news, the better it sells. It's job security for the news to have sensational articles, sensational print and letters. Political pundits, you know, that's job security. But is it really that bad? Is it really that bad in this country? Or are just a few people being promoted over the needs and the will of a lot of other people? What about it? Will they be able to accomplish their goals eventually? Will they be able to do that? Is it really that bad? If the humanists and socialists have their way, they would eliminate capitalism and Christianity, I promise you. But most of it will depend on what the next generation does. And what are they going to do with their future depends greatly on what mom and dad put in their soul today. Listen carefully, grandma, grandpa. It depends on what mom and dad put in their soul today. Many young people that I've met over my years of traveling are already being caught up in the cosmic vortex. They're being evangelized daily by the social media and to Satan's cosmic system, and capturing their thoughts with promises that cannot be delivered. Many of them are deceived and seduced by lies, and these vulnerable young souls may never know what hit them if it happens. But the real problem starts in the home. Unless mom and dad plant the truth of God's word in these young minds of their children, those children are going to grow into adulthood not knowing the very things that could actually stabilize this nation and guarantee God's approval and blessing on our country. Make no mistake about it, the enemy's hard at work trying to recruit your children and your grandchildren. And if Satan can capture their thinking, he can cause destruction in their lives and eventually destroy their nation, our nation, client nation USA. That's what it's all about to begin with. Excuse me. Shut down the outreach of Christian missionaries. Shut down the authority structures of the home and destroy the concepts of marriage as God originally designed it, and eliminate personal freedom and replace it with governmental control. How can this invisible, lethal assault be stopped? And will parents actually believe what God says is necessary to have a free and stable and prosperous nation? What is necessary for parents to do? Here it is, Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That's a Christian. For this is right. Parents must teach authority orientation. They must teach authority orientation to their children. Verse 2 of 6, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, honor your father and your mother, which is the first mandate with a promise, which means they have to teach respect and appreciation for their parents, that it may be well with you. I mean, great, wonderful life. And you may live a long time on this earth. So parents have to teach the secrets to a long and fruitful life to their children, which is respect for authority and honoring their father and their mother. And then you fathers, here's a warning, Dad. Provoke not your children to wrath. Don't make them mad. Don't make them angry by unfair discipline. But bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Fathers are to discipline and give direction to their children. One of the most critical things a father can teach is what we call this. It's what we call divine establishment. And these are the principles ordained by God for the survival, stability, prosperity, protection, and even the perpetuation of the human race, believers and unbelievers alike. These principles were introduced in Genesis and fully described in the Mosaic Law. Those principles include liberty, morality, civility, and authority within a national entity. It applies to every person in every age. These basic truths are restated in the New Testament and are God's design for restraining man's sinful nature while allowing maximum function of free will, which includes the responsibility to make your own decisions. Secondly, parents must instill an awareness of God in their children's lives. What does that do? This allows for God consciousness, age of accountability, and eventually gospel hearing. How do you do that? Well, family prayers at meals, Bible reading in the evening are two ways to instill an awareness of God in their young minds. Whenever my grandchildren come to our house, we make sure we do not eat until we say the blessing. And they're not used to that. They want to just grab a mouthful and start chomping. And I'm like, whoa, wait. Put that down. We're going to say our blessing. We're instilling in them an awareness of God. But giving them a cell phone or giving them an iPad, I mean, that may be considered normal, but in reality, you're allowing their minds to be occupied with a sense of unreality and giving the enemy an opportunity to recruit them to his way of thinking. A young man full of bitterness and disillusioned is described by Jesus in a parable in Luke 15:11. And in this particular parable, two sons are mentioned. I always like to call them Frick and Frack, but we could call them Jack and John, whatever you want to call them. But what is taught is that both are sons, and both have issues. Frick had an unrealistic self-image of himself, and Frack was a big-time jealous bully of his little brother. Frick demanded his inheritance early before his pop actually died, so he could leave and head off down the My Way Highway in his frantic search for happiness. Luke 15:13 in the parable went like this, and not many days after, the younger son, Frick, gathered everything together, all his goods, you know, his clothes, his suitcase, packed up, and journeyed to a far country and wasted his inheritance with riotous living. What is riotous living? You can figure it out. Party hardy. This is where the younger son had to learn a very valuable lesson, since he did not have humility to begin with. He had to be taught that circumstances are going to bring him to enforced humility. If you don't have genuine humility, circumstances will give you enforced humility. But when he had spent everything, this is O Frick, the younger son, there arose a severe famine in the land. He began to be in want. So he went and joined himself to the citizens of that country, and they sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. He didn't eat pork. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the slop the pigs ate because nobody would give him anything. Wow. Here we go. Bad situation. When he came to himself, what does that mean? Enforced humility. His volition kicked in. He said, I'm an idiot. I'm stupid. I can't believe I did this. He said these words, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I'm dying from hunger. I'm going to arise and go back to my father and say to him, I have sinned against heaven, sinned unto you, and I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. Just make me a hired servant. Notice that he at least had enough humility to admit he was wrong and return home to ask for forgiveness. Genuine humility is a characteristic missing in the lives of many of our young people today. The ones we're trusting to guide us in the future don't have genuine humility. Humility is an attitude of honor. It's an attitude of integrity. and it places virtuous values above self-centered desires. It's a basic human virtue required to adjust to reality. If the future generation in this country has no humility, they will destroy this country. And humility is, in fact, teachability. But since humility is not inherited at birth, it has to be learned, it has to be acquired. So for a young child, the home is the classroom, where mother and father must enforce humility and restrain the sin nature of the child through constant training and constant discipline. And they will wear you out, breaking your will. They don't give up. You'll be so tired of trying to say, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And you'll be yelling and screaming and give them a little tap on the fanny, and they'll do it again. They have to learn not to do that. They have to learn what authority is. They have to learn to respect the parents. The Bible says in James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. To the extent that mother and dad ignore God's mandates, to the extent that they don't take time to prepare their children for the future, they are guaranteeing that their country is doomed. Now let's notice Frack, the older brother in our Lord's parable. Once the younger brother came home and asked for forgiveness, the dad had a celebration and killed the fatted calf for a party meal. Steaks for everybody. And the older brother did not like this at all. He got really upset about that. Luke 15:25. Now the older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house, and he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and said, what's going on? What's happening? And he said, your brother has come home, because he's received him safe. Your father received him safe and sound, and your father has killed the fatted calf, and we're having a celebration. But he was angry. He would not go in. And his father came out and pleaded with him. What was he angry about? Why was he not happy to see his younger brother? Because he was full of unrealistic self-image. In Luke 15:29, so he answered and said to his father, all these years I served you, I never disobeyed your commandments at any time, and you never even gave me a young billy goat to make a party with. But as soon as your son comes home, you kill the fatted calf, and he's been living with harlots, and you have a party for him. This is pure jealousy based on an unrealistic self-image. I'm perfect. He's not. In his eyes, he had been the perfect son, but his dad was never thrown a party for him. And so he had a little pity party for his own self. His feelings were really hurt. Bless his heart. These two sons had every opportunity to serve God, but neither of them did so because of their own arrogance. How many families have sons or daughters, just like I do, my wife and I, we have sons and daughters, who act the same way, bickering, jealousy, bitterness, all indications of a miserable family existence. Mom and dad, if there is a mom and dad, that's one of the things Satan has been very successful at today, is splitting the home. I'm not talking about mom, dad, dad. I'm talking about mom and dad. Mom and dad must teach their sons and daughters how to use impersonal love. That's a wonderful problem-solving device. And not let sin nature get into pettiness and destroy family bonds. You've got to teach your children what that means. Impersonal love is part of the virtue love package God makes available. Personal love for God and personal love for others. It's possible to love the worst jerk in town by what? Based on what you are, not based on what he is. And how many families don't know that? How many children fight and bicker? How many parents yell and argue because they don't understand that? And they're believers. They're Christians. That's what's weird. They've accepted Christ as their Savior, and yet they've learned nothing about the spiritual life. Mom and dad's got to teach their sons and daughters how to use impersonal love, not to let that sin nature pettiness destroy them. Because if it's a maladjusted teenager, it means a maladjusted future. And it is very clear from looking at our nation's leadership that we have petty, jealous people who will do anything to destroy the ones they hate the most. So are we doomed? Well, we will be if we don't return to divine establishment principles. But how can we return if we don't even know them? If we don't even know what they are? Either we must get back on track, or we are doomed to be erased by our enemies, which are not just our nations that oppose us and despise us, but it's the individuals within your nation who hate you, who hate the very foundations that we were built upon. And the scriptures clearly state the reason for divine national discipline is this. Divine national discipline, I said it, divine national discipline, God's discipline on a nation. I believe we are being disciplined by God. You want to see it? It comes in the book of Hosea in the Old Testament, chapter 4. We won't go there yet. I want to go to Israel's covenant with God and agreement with God according to Deuteronomy 26. Listen to 28, excuse me. Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. Listen to this. And it will come to pass, if you will listen diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe and to do all of his mandates, which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings will come to you and overtake you, and if you shall listen to the voices of the Lord your God. And then in verse 9 and 10 of Deuteronomy 28, the Lord shall establish you with a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you. And if you will keep his commandments of the Lord and walk in his ways, all the people of the earth shall see you are called by the name of the Lord. They will be afraid of you. Eventually, Israel broke every mandate God gave them. 490 laws of the Mosaic Law, not just the Big Ten, 490 different laws, and they broke most of those laws. And he warned them, listen, God's chosen people ignored what God said, and he warned them that here's what's going to happen if you continue to break my laws. Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass, if you don't obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all of his mandates and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And it did. And we are in a likewise situation. God's blessed us. God put us on a pedestal. God made us the most rich nation in the world, the most prosperous nation in the world, the strongest nation in the world, freedom. And our enemies are jealous. Not only that, but there are equal enemies within that want to destroy us. They don't like the way our laws work. They want to change everything. It's called the humanist society, the socialist society, the woke administration. How do we get back to where we used to be? Remember, Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you rejected knowledge, I will reject you. Until pastors mount the pulpit and start teaching the Word of God clearly and laying down what the Word of God says, we will not get back. You've heard me say there's a fog over this country. F-O-G, failure in the pulpits. Failure of spiritual leadership. O-F-O, open rebellion in the streets. Open rebellion to the root of law. And G, God's Word ignored, God's Word rejected. How are we going to get back? Each week I seek to invest in you the knowledge of how the spiritual life works. I try to invest in you what the spiritual life is and why you need a well-qualified pastor and why you must use Rebound and deal with your sins. Have you been listening? You know, we spend thousands of dollars every month in order to bring you these shows and provide you with printed materials. Have these had any effect on you at all? Have you understood why these times are so critical? Are we doomed? Is America on the downslide and about to be destroyed? You can answer that question yourself based on your knowledge of scriptures. Will this next generation lose it all because you did not do your job as a parent or a grandparent? I assure you God knows and he's not playing silly games like many Christians play. And I assure you, you're running out of time, so you need to listen very carefully. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God he will abundantly pardon. There is a pardon available for America. There is an opportunity for America to get back on track. But it must start in the home. It must start with mom and dad. Mom and dad must understand God's plan for their life. We're talking about Christian parents who teach their children how to pray, Christian parents who give authority orientation to their children. This is a generation that will either destroy us or make us. How do your grandparents, your grandchildren look? How are your children looking? Do they understand these things? Do you know how much God has blessed us? You can see that if you're older. You can see what we've experienced, the great blessings and prosperity this nation has experienced. And anybody with a brain can see what's happening. Young people don't see it because they're concerned with what they're doing this weekend. Some of my close friends don't even think about it. They're thinking about, are the fish biting? Are the deer, is it deer season yet? Or, you know, young, they're strong, they're healthy, they're not sick, they're not weak. They got a beautiful wife, they got a beautiful husband, they got lots going on, and they don't think about stuff like that. Who thinks about politics? So just like the frog in the pan, they just sit there and simmer and simmer and simmer until they're cooked. We are being cooked today by satanic forces that are destroying the lives of young people that must lead us in the future. That's why I'm appealing to parents and grandparents, get with the program. Teach your children God's word. Make them sit down and pray with you. Read scripture to them. Make them aware of God and that He's there, and that hopefully they'll have some sort of God consciousness. When I was 11 years old, my mother sent me off to get rid of me. I was more than she could handle. She was a single parent. We lived in a federal housing project in Birmingham, Alabama. It wasn't a great existence. So she sent me to a place called French Camp Academy in Mississippi. And that place is still there today. At 11 years old, I went there, and I learned about God. I became aware of God, but I did not become a Christian. But I had God consciousness. I knew God existed, and I wasn't mad at God. I just never took the time to know God. And when I was 22 years old, someone exposed me to the gospel. Someone from Africa was visiting America and gave the gospel in a small group meeting, and I received Christ as my Savior. Those were two decisions I had to make. I had to make a decision at God consciousness. Did I want to know God? Yes. And I had to make a decision at gospel hearing. Do I want to receive Christ? Yes. And was I saved? Yes. I got saved. I accepted Christ as my Savior. Have you done that? Have you received Christ as your Savior? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that can happen to you today. While listening to this radio show, you may be driving in a car. You may be seated at home in your chair. But if you have never trusted Christ, you can do it right now. You can simply pray, Father, I know I'm lost. Father, I believe Christ died for me and I want to receive Him as my Savior. You can pray a prayer like that. Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in that instant, you might not feel it. You might not see the lights flicker. You might not hear any harps play. But in that instant that you express faith alone and Christ alone, it will happen. And you will be born again. Your spiritual life will be fired up. God the Holy Spirit will come to live inside of you and mentor you and encourage you and teach you. And you will have a new life in Christ called your spiritual life. You will have two lives, not just one. That's why I say you got to be born twice or you're going to die twice. The first birth is physical. The second birth is spiritual. The first death is physical death. The second death is cast into the lake of fire. Whoever's name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 20, was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, it says. So what about it? What about it for you? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you? It is the single most important decision you'll ever make. And if you're a Christian, do you understand the importance of what I'm telling you about parents and grandparents and the future of this country and how we are doomed if you don't step in and do your job? Make sure you free your children and your grandchildren from satanic devices. Make sure you don't let Satan recruit them by electronic means and put things in their mind that don't belong there. Break them out of that. Get it away from them, or they will wind up disillusioned in a frantic search for happiness, and even mad at you if you try to get them to slow down and quit watching that stuff. It's amazing what's happening in our country. You can see it, and I can see it. We may be doomed if we don't return to divine establishment principles. If we don't get back to freedom and marriage and family and nationalism, these are all important to you. God designed us to be free, to have a choice, and God designed you to be married, not male and male, male and female. God designed you to have children. God designed you to do what? To have a national freedom and nationality. You're American. You know, this is why we had the Tower of Babel. God dispersed people and said, no longer. You know, in different lands, different languages, different people. Today, the move is to put everybody back under one coin, one authority, one language, one whatever. That plays right into Satan's language. So I hope you're listening. I've rambled a lot, but I hope you paid attention. Surely you heard something here that will challenge you today. Is America doomed? I don't know. But I tell you this, we are in serious trouble. That's why I challenge Mom and Dad, and I challenge Grandma and Grandpa, get into the minds of your children and grandchildren now while you can. Rescue them from the cosmic vortex they've been sucked into. Share the gospel with them. Share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And read the scriptures to them and let them see what it means to have a fruitful, abundant, long, wonderful life in Christ Jesus. I sure hope you're listening. Sure hope you're paying attention. We've been on this show a long time now, and I know many of you are responding. If you'd like to contact us, you always can. The announcer will tell you how to get in touch with us. Or you can call us at 800-831-0718. But until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you so much for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries. The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I am your host, Rick Hughes, and I'd like to thank you for tuning in. It won't be long, 27, 28 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, all, as the announcer said, no manipulation. That means we don't try to con people. We're not trying to hustle you. We're not asking you for money. We're not trying to solicit funds, sell you anything. We're just offering information. Make no mistake about it. The Flatline is designed for one thing: to bring you to an understanding of God's plan and will for your life through Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God. If you don't know for sure whether or not you have eternal life, there's no reason you should ever doubt it. Because the Bible says in 1 John, these things are written so that you might know that you have life. And you can count on God. He's not a liar. If you make a decision to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior, He's not going to bail on you when you fail. He's not going to leave you when you mess up. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish, and neither shall any man ever pluck them out of my Father's hand. So this show, first and foremost, is to encourage you to make the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life, the eternal decision to receive Christ as your Savior by a simple act of faith alone in Christ alone. I did it by prayer. I asked God to save me. I got on my knees and prayed and said, Lord, I know I'm lost. I know I'm going to hell, and I'm asking you to save me today. I'm willing to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I didn't feel funny. I didn't feel any emotional thing, but it happened. God did what He said He would do, and He will do it for you as well. So please, understand the first thing in this show, the most important thing in this show, is your relationship with God through Christ Jesus, His anointed Son. Secondly, If, in fact, you are a Christian and you have made that decision, then we'd like to talk to you about how the mechanics of God works. What does the plan of God entail? How do you know you're living God's will for your life? And we offer plain, simple, basic truths called the FLOT line, F-L-O-T. That stands for the Forward Line of Troops. And this is something my pastor taught me years ago. This is not original for me. This is his message that he taught me, and I'm repeating it to you. But he taught me how to rebound, how to confess my sin when I messed up. 1 John 1:9, which is the first problem-solving device. He taught me how to be filled with the Holy Spirit from Ephesians 5:18, where the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. And he showed me that when I rebounded, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And when I sinned, I quenched the Holy Spirit. He taught me the faith rest drill. He taught me grace orientation. He taught me doctrinal orientation. He taught me a personal sense of destiny, how to have personal love for God, how to have impersonal love for others. He explained what it meant to share the happiness of God and what it meant to be occupied with Christ. And that's what we try to teach you on this radio show. Those 10 unique problem-solving devices I learned years ago from my very own pastor. We've written a book about it called Christian Problem Solving. It's free. If you'd like to have it, just contact us through our website or call us 800-831-0718. 800-831-0718. We will send it to you free of charge. Today, before we get wound up on what we want to cover, I'd like to talk about something. Let's talk about happiness. Happiness. Really being happy. You know, that's the question I want to ask you. It's are you happy? And the opposite of happiness, what do you think that is? Well, it's miserable. Are you happy? Are you miserable? I've talked on the phone this week with a lot of people that call, and so many people are miserable because of past failures or circumstances and events in their life. So that's the question I have to ask you this morning. Do you live a miserable existence? Are you sick of certain people, circumstances, anything that causes you extreme unhappiness? Do you have circumstances in your life that cause confusion and chaos? Are all of these situations causing you to worry or even experience depression? The scriptures tell us this in Job 14:1. Man born of a woman is short-lived and full of turmoil. Man born of a woman is short-lived and full of turmoil. That means that he has a life filled with one crisis after another. If I tried to describe a life of misery to you, I would put it this way. One, to be very uncomfortable or be unhappy, living in a state of distress, or being depressed over unfair circumstances. And two, I would say miserable individuals often mistake prosperity as a cure for their loneliness. But the truth is the myth of this world. The truth is that the myth of this world is a lie. The secret to happiness does not lie in people or circumstances. The secret to happiness lies in the very words that the Lord Jesus Christ pronounced in Luke 11:28, where he said these words to a woman who suggested that happiness was related to his mother. And he said, quote, now, on the contrary, happiness belongs to those who hear the word of God and keep it. On the night before his crucifixion, he taught the disciples these things. And here's what he said, I have taught you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be made full. That's in John 15:11. These things are the doctrines that he taught them the last night he was alive with them. You remember the Reverend Billy Graham, the famous worldwide evangelist? He was quoted as saying this about being happy. He said, the happiness God offers brings enduring worth to life. It's not really the superficial happiness that depends on circumstances, but rather the happiness and the contentment, notice those two things go together, that fills the soul even in the midst of the most distressing circumstances or bitter environment. The truth that I hope you will grasp today is that there's something that overrides all adversity and all heartache, and it's called the plan of God. Listen as I read this verse to you, 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the victory to life, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does Christ deliver you from eternal damnation called the lake of fire, and that awaits the devil and all his fallen angels, But the Lord Jesus Christ offers you a new way to live when you adopt his mindset. It's a life that's free of fear, free of worry, free of doubt, and full of confident expectations. Paul wrote it this way in Philippians 1:6, being confident in this very thing, that he, that's Christ, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, many people spend a lot of money trying to improve their quality of life. And there's nothing wrong with living a healthy lifestyle, but if you ignore your spiritual life, you will just be a very fit person, still very miserable. In 1 Timothy 4:8, the Bible says, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness, which is another term for the spiritual life, godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So the spiritual life is much easier to maintain than the physical life. Many people, when I say the spiritual life, they don't have a clue what I'm talking about. There is a way to live under divine viewpoint, learning the problem-solving devices called the spiritual life. This is where you live in your brain, the Christian life, not in your feet, in your brain. You have mentality, you have volition, you have consciousness, you have self-consciousness. And when you learn God's word and store it in your consciousness, and your volition chooses to exercise positive volition toward what God says, then you're living the Christian life. Then you can have victory over the world. Then you'll understand the spiritual life is much easier to maintain than the physical life. You're getting older, like me. The physical life starts to break down, but the spiritual life, the older you get, gets stronger. It's completely opposite. If you grow in grace, the spiritual life is strongest as you're getting the oldest, when your physical life is the weakest. The spiritual life has eternal benefits, but your physical life only wears out. Listen to what was in the Bible in Matthew 6:19-20. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on this earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. That's the spiritual life. That's you developing a spiritual life with eternal rewards. So the spiritual life, not the physical life, is the key to your success and your happiness. And your spiritual life is the answer to stability in a nation such as ours that is going through the turmoil we're going through. How could you be the answer? Well, I'll read it to you. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, those are believers, who are called by my name will humble themselves, that's the right attitude. Humility is teachability. If they will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and here comes the volitional decision, turn away from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Well, what exactly are the wicked ways that we're doing today? The Bible clearly teaches in Hosea 4, you have forgotten my word. You don't have any knowledge. You know me, but you don't understand me. We supplement ritual for reality. What the world is seeking can be found in a relationship with the God of this universe, who is none other than Christ Jesus. And it's through him and because of him that you can have peace with God and happiness, not miserable in a sin-ridden world. So if you've discovered what the world offers has not given you the enjoyment you're seeking, then maybe now, maybe today, maybe right now, it's time to start a new life in Christ. Today, you can place your faith in the work of Christ on the cross, and you can receive him as your Savior today. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Word of God clearly says he has made him, Christ, who knew no sin, he was a sinless perfection, to be sin for us, he took our place. So he has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God by means of him. If God is perfectly righteous and we are perfectly unrighteous, how could we ever have fellowship with God? So the Bible says there are none that are righteous, no, not even one. All of our righteousnesses are like a filthy rag in God's eyes. So the only way that you can have any identification with God It's when you receive the righteousness of Christ imputed to you, just like he received your sins imputed to him. When you make a decision to receive Christ as your Savior, his righteousness is given to you, and you are on equal standing with him, and you're able to be a member of God's royal family. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You remember when you went to school years and years and years ago, there was an old chalkboard, and it was dusty and chalky, and the teacher would take a wet sponge and clean it, and the chalkboard would look clean and crystal clear again. This is what happens when you believe in Christ. All your sins are gone, wiped away. You start all over, the brand new life, when you're born again. Just as Jesus instructed Nicodemus, you begin a new life, not a physical life, but a spiritual life. That means that God the Holy Spirit will indwell you. He will mentor you in what's available to you through God's Word. And if you learn of your new assets and in fact do use them, then your potential for happiness is unlimited. I'm not saying you won't need to see a doctor from time to time. I'm not saying you might not need counseling from time to time. But I'm telling you this, that if you learn God's Word and exercise a faith rest drill and develop a relaxed mental attitude, stand on the promises of God, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be upset. You don't have to be, in some sort of miserable status in your life. You can have objective optimism through Christ our Lord. Don't make the mistake of confusing happiness taught in the Scripture with the fact of the details of life, which are just momentarily, and they do fade away. The new happiness I'm trying to tell you about, the new happiness I'm speaking about, is related to the immaterial part of your soul and your spirit, not the material part of your body, not the bed you sleep on, not the automobile you drive around in, but what's in your brain. The immaterial part of you, your soul, this is where the happiness is. God's matchless grace designed a spiritual life for you to live in. And when you live in his power by means of the Holy Spirit and enjoy his provisions by means of the Word of God, then you can overcome the worst of your environment and have contentment the way the world does not possess. In Philippians 4:11, Paul wrote about that. He said, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, whatever state I am, to be content." He wasn't unhappy because he didn't have something, and he wasn't happy because he did have something. Happiness is not related to circumstances. Happiness is not related to people. Happiness is related to the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice this? Listen, a self-contained happiness that is your constant companion is available. And you will be able to rise above circumstances in your life. Self-contained happiness is available. In Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy, you hear that word, joy, in the Holy Spirit. There's your self-contained happiness. Did you notice I said peace and joy? Do you have peace in your life? Are you happy? Because if not, it's time to start over by receiving Christ as your Savior. And if you've already made that decision, but still find no peace and no joy in your life, it's not because God does not provide these things for you. It's because you neglected your spiritual opportunities. And you allowed the devil, a.k.a. Lucifer, Satan, to distract you. Or maybe you allowed the flesh to enslave you. Or maybe even you gave in to the world and was seduced by the promises the world offers, but cannot be kept. So if you'll let me, if you don't mind, I wish you would just let me for a few minutes here. Let me list a few things that are available to the believer who seeks to grow spiritually. First of all, if you take God's word and learn it and apply it into your life and use it, you can have tranquility of soul. Yes, you can live a calm life in spite of the circumstances, in spite of who's in power politically, in spite of what you do have or don't have financially, in spite of any relationship you do have or don't have. You don't have to be upset. You don't have to be miserable. You can have a tranquility of soul simply by this. Here's the problem-solving devices. Simply by confessing your sin of worry, by being filled with the Holy Spirit, where the part of the fruit of the Spirit is peace and joy and love and long-suffering, and using the faith rest drill. Those are the first three promise-solving devices. What is the faith rest drill? Standing behind the promises of God and using them as a shield of faith to protect you from the fiery darts of the wicked one. There is no reason for you not to live a calm life. There's no reason for you to be apprehensive. There's no reason for you to be worrying about anything. You can have tranquility of soul if you grow spiritually and become a mature believer. Number two, another thing that's available to you is no stress-related sins to dominate you. That's right. You don't have to worry. You don't have to get angry. You don't have to get bitter. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Ephesians 4, put all that behind you. Don't get bitter. Don't worry. Don't get full of malice. You know, I watch people, and it's very interesting to see how mad people get about certain things. Mad on the interstate, get out and fight in the middle of the road, drive up and shoot each other. Neighbors fight over their property lines. People fight over relationships. There's a better way to live. No stress-related sins to dominate you. You mean tell me I can live without being worrying? Yes. Are you telling me I can live without getting angry? Yes. Are you telling me I can live without being bitter? Yes. How do I do that? Well, you have contentment. That's available to you through the filling of the Holy Spirit and through the intake of the Word of God on a daily basis. You can be content. You can have a wonderful life full of contentment. As Paul said, I've learned whatever state I'm in to be content. Your happiness is not related to whether you're able to pay all your bills this month or not. Your happiness is not related to your sickness or not. Your happiness is not related to what people say about you or don't say about you. Remember what Jesus said, happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it. He called it joy. It's a peace that passes all understanding. It's a relaxed mental attitude that is unbelievable in the middle of the most extreme trials. You can have contentment. And you can have number point four, an attitude of gratitude. That's appreciation for what God has given to you. Not jealousy, not bitterness, but attitude of gratitude. There's a verse that says, this is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and have a superabundance of happiness in it because of His unfailing love and mercy every day. Each day you get up and look out the window. If the sun is shining or if the rain is raining, it doesn't make any difference. You need an attitude of gratitude that God gave you one more day to represent Him on this earth. One more day to enjoy all of His grace benefits. And that means that you're not threatened by any circumstances that you may face in your life today. You don't have to be threatened by circumstances. I know going to the doctor is not fun. Hearing bad news is not fun. These are simply circumstances of this life. This body is going to wear out. This body is going to shut down. We've got a new body coming, a resurrection body. The Bible says the eye has not seen, the ear has never heard, the heart has never felt the amazing things God has for you. Maybe you've never thought about that. You're going to get a new body, and it won't wear out. But I'll tell you what's going with you. Your soul is going with you. Your thoughts are going with you. Your body will go to the grave and perish as it's supposed to. But your soul, your mentality of your soul, will go with you into your resurrection body. And you will be able to know and understand and learn things you haven't seen yet. God's matchless grace means you're not threatened by any circumstances. So you have security and you have confidence. You're very secure and you're very confident in God's plan. You don't have to worry. And then you have stability in your life.
By far left liberals stability and Bay Area money, nothing could be further from the truth. District 1 citizens want a true fiscal conservative focused on real issues like safety, homelessness, and our roads.
A bit of doctrine that comes along, the Bible talks about that. I'll read it to you. The spiritual life I'm talking about is contained in those 10 problem-solving devices. I call it the flot line. And learning those 10 problem-solving devices is the most important thing you will ever do. The most important thing you'll ever do. Why? Well, because if you don't know them, if you don't use them, you cannot glorify God to the max if you're a Christian. They are the mechanics to the Christian life. That spiritual life I'm talking about requires far more than an occasional rededication at a revival. It's much more than a praise and worship service or a retreat weekend for singles or married couples. You know, these things might be refreshing, but they don't teach you how to maintain fellowship with God by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit, nor do they teach the faith rest drill or any of the other basic biblical doctrines required for you to glorify God to the maximum in your life. Sadly, many believers are satisfied with spiritual appetizers rather than the steak of the in-depth teaching from the Scriptures. Many churches that are packed out offer appetizers. Many churches that offer in-depth Bible teaching are not packed out. People don't want that. They'd rather be entertained. They'd rather be get a little shot of 30 minutes here, 30 minutes there, and go about their way. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews said about in-depth teaching from the Scriptures. He said, "We have a lot to say to you, but it's hard to explain because you're dull of hearing, which means you can't concentrate. For though by this time you should be a teacher," that means you've been saved a long time, "but in fact now you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God," that's the basics, "and you have come to need milk and not solid food." It means you're still on the bottle. "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness." He's just a baby. "But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." This is why it's necessary for you to be under the teaching of a well-qualified pastor. In Ephesians 4, "And he himself gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastor teachers for the equipping of the saints." Note that, equipping of the saints. "For the work of the ministry." Note that. "For the edifying of the body of Christ." Note that. "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature individual after the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, who in cunning craftiness deceitfully plot against you. But speaking the truth in love, you may grow up and do all things unto him who is the head, Jesus Christ our Lord. From whom the whole body is joined and knit together by every joint, and it supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, and it causes growth in the body for the edifying of itself in love." You are a member of the body of Christ if you're a believer. God has given someone a spiritual gift to guide you and teach you, your shepherd, your mentor, your pastor, teacher. And if you sit under his authority, if you listen to him teach the word of God and apply into your life what he teaches, then you will be able to live a life without any misery. You'll be able to live a life full of contentment, full of happiness, being occupied with the person of Christ. So, again, you're not miserable, are you? Are you living a miserable existence? Because you sure don't have to. There's a better way to live, a better way to enjoy life, a better way to go through your day than sitting around worrying and being upset and being angry and being frustrated. It's the Christian life, the spiritual life that we talk about. And it only comes through listening to the teaching of the Word of God and applying what you hear into your life. And hopefully coming from a well-qualified pastor. Not you trying to teach yourself. Not you trying to read some book that some dude sold you about how to be happy. But sitting under a pastor and listening to him crank it out line by line, word by word, verse by verse, until you understand what this is all about. Well, I'm very grateful you listened to me today as I ranted and raved about how to be happy and not be miserable. I hope you're listening and I hope you're paying attention. That's why we're here, to encourage you, to point you in the right direction, to encourage you to find that pastor teacher and get under his ministry and grow in grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's our intention to be back next week, if God will allow, same time, same place. Until then, we need your prayers, we need your encouragement, and we thank you for listening. So until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.